Imagine an early evening in December, a cold, dark evening more than 50 years ago. Consider the living room of a fieldstone farmhouse in the country. This night, a decorated Christmas tree is the room's main feature, but there are also a sofa and chairs. Just now, the tree is the room's only light. A family of seven lives in the house. All but one are elsewhere at the moment. There are muffled sounds in the background. The child lying on her stomach under the tree is myself. I am 9. From my vantage point, I look up and see amusingly distorted reflections of my face, blue, yellow, red, and green in the round glass Christmas bulbs. Under the tree is a manger in a four-sided box in the shape of a stable. Pulling the outside front wall down, a cast of characters appears. Shepherds, sheep, and wise men glued in place, all facing the Holy Family tucked inside. Recounted here in the style of Truman Capote's A Christmas Memory, a favorite short story, this scene endures when I remember my own Christmases growing up. Santa visited our house, and that brought its own excitement, of course. Yet somehow, the most important people in my life, my parents, grandparents, and church friends, helped me understand that the mysterious story that unfolded in the stable mattered most. I didn't fully understand, but when our nativity scene was put in place, I was drawn to find my spot there under the tree. These days, I'm sure it will come as no surprise to you that I no longer lie down under the Christmas tree. Well, I can still get down there, I just don't spring up back as easily as I did once. And I have to admit that I no longer always manage to make time to simply sit in front of our nativity set either. Adulting brings us all responsibilities that we didn't have as children, and even in good times, regular life demands most of our time and attention. In addition, life experiences can eat away at our sense of wonder over time. We carry griefs from past and present losses, as well as the pain and the disillusionment of personal, family, and institutional failings. This Christmas, we and the world are especially weary with political strife, a lingering pandemic, and war in Sudan, Ukraine, and now Gaza. This Advent at CMCL, we've been asking, how does a weary world rejoice? These past weeks, we've considered the value of acknowledging our weariness and our doubt, as Zechariah did. Singing stories of hope, as Mary did. Allowing ourselves to be amazed, as those who came to the manger were. This morning, we reflect on making room in this ancient story for ourselves and others right now, making room to receive and respond to the message that Luke describes the angels delivering to the shepherds. In the midst of weariness, it's often not easy to make room in our minds and hearts for a message like this. What might good news of great joy for all people even look like in December 2023? In this morning's familiar story, the characters are given such news in the midst of their own world-worn weariness. And it's interesting to note their different responses. Initially, the shepherds are paralyzed with fear, shrinking back, keeping the messengers and their message at a distance. But as they hear all that the angels tell them, their fear begins to subside. They make room for this message, and the promise of unexpected good news then seems to energize their quick response. After finding the child, they go on to share what they've experienced with others, and all who hear them are in turn touched and amazed. They return to their lives filled with joy and praising God for all they have heard and seen. Meanwhile, Mary reacts differently. She holds it all quietly to herself and wonders. Something important is happening, but what might it all mean? What might happen if we found a way to open ourselves once again this year to the beauty and the power in the story of Jesus' birth? As we seek to figure out how to live in our own moment in time, might revisiting the arrival of good news of great joy for all people help to ground and strengthen us? Joy, I think, can too often get categorized and dismissed as a tone-deaf, don't worry, be happy approach to life that ignores or minimizes real suffering in the world. But African-American theologian Willie James Jennings thinks about joy quite differently. Jennings fundamentally sees joy itself as an act of resistance against the forces of death and despair in the world. Joy, he says, is a work that can become a state of mind that can become a way of life. It resists despair and all the ways that despair wants to drive us towards death and wants to make death in all its signatures, including violence and war, into the final word. But joy, he says, is pushing back. I can't say I've ever heard joy described quite this way before, as a fundamental act of resistance against death and despair. This reminds me in a new way that the birth of Jesus truly is good news of great joy for all people, especially those facing injustice, suffering, death, and despair. As a people who seek to live our lives in the way of Jesus, it seems to me that we can draw a profoundly grounding sense of joy, strength, and direction from knowing that we follow one whose life and teachings consistently point to the way of justice, healing, peace, and hope for ourselves and for all the world. Bethlehem cancels Christmas, begins the headline of a Christianity Today article this past week, which included an interview with Pastor Munther Isaac of Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem. I'll be reading several paragraphs from that story. Pastor Isaac continues to draw attention to the war in Gaza and calls for an immediate ceasefire. Instead of the traditional manger scene, his church made a mound of broken stone and concrete to represent the rubble in Gaza. And on top of the rubble placed a baby Jesus wrapped in a Palestinian keffiyeh. God is under the rubble in Gaza, Isaac preached on the first few weeks of the war. He is with the frightened and the refugees. He is in the operating room. This is our consolation. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. If we want to pray, he said, my prayer is that those who are suffering will feel this healing and comforting presence. Ceasing their usual Christmas celebrations, he said, has provided a great opportunity to rethink the meaning of Christmas. The words people there once associated with Christmas were Santa, tree, gifts, carols, all what he calls romanticized traditions from the West. Today, he thinks of words from the Christmas story in the Bible: Caesar, census, massacre, and refugee in Egypt, all relevant to Palestinians who have to register to travel outside the West Bank and who seek safety in Egypt. Thousands of miles away this week, Mennonites across the United States and Canada on December 19th called on their elected officials to advocate for a permanent ceasefire in Palestine and the release of all hostages. According to Anabaptist World, more than 1,800 people staged 42 protests featuring hymn singing and prayers at the offices of elected officials. In Lancaster, some 115 Mennonites gathered at U.S. Representative Lloyd Smucker's office, including a dozen or so CMCLers. We reminded ourselves of and bore witness to what we know and hold on to from the birth, life, and teachings of Jesus, singing, "My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fires of your justice burn." We made room before God and one another to listen to and to amplify painful messages from Palestinian family members, friends, and colleagues caught in the war with nowhere to go. Through tears, we continued singing, lamenting, and praying, "O healing river, send down your waters. This land is parching. No seed is growing in the barren ground. O healing river, send your waters down. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, send us love. Send us power. Send us grace." In the midst of the world's weariness today, Jesus' birth is still a story of good news, of great joy for all people, that can ground us and call us to action as his followers. This is not a trite surface feeling of fleeting happiness, but a deep sense of comfort and enduring hope and joy that God with us is with humanity in suffering and points the way to the justice and peace of shalom, all things as God intends them to be. So may we pause and take a little time to find our place at the manger this year, bringing the gifts that we have to bring right now, our tears and our anguish, our questions and wrestling with God, our longings for healing for ourselves and our dear ones and for this world. In so doing, may we make room in our hearts and minds to receive new meaning for our real lives from this old and sacred story. Then may we follow the way of Jesus, joining the Spirit of God's holy and powerful work in and through us, that we may in turn be part of bringing joy in the world. May it be so.